The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation. Mike Campion here with a big burp first, and now Brandy and Tom Clemens. And when I saw it, I said Tom, Brandy and Tom, and I kind of Tom and Brandy. I'm like Tom Brady, and no, it's they're nice, they're great. Like not to just, but there's I don't think he plays professional football at all, frankly. So he's giving me the nod that that is correct. There's no professional athletes here on this call. Anyway, they started Clemens Cleaning March 2004, so we're recording this 2021. So these guys are not brand new in Waterloo, Illinois. They serve residential and commercial. What on God's green earth got you people A, into cleaning, and B, onto our podcast?
Well, cleaning is, that's a little bit longer of a story. My wife, we had kids. I was in the construction field. I owned a construction company, just like you did at one time. And as our kids got older, she was looking for a job, didn't want to go back to corporate America. And I didn't like the idea of her waitressing or any of that stuff. She loved to clean. So she started us off in commercial cleaning and strictly did that. So I'd work during the day. She'd work at night. We'd high five each other as we passed each other in the hall. And,
I'm guessing and, 6 nights out of 7, it was a high five. And one night out of 7 was just a dirty look.
you've been there before.
I've been there, buddy.
Yeah, and you know, we did that for our kids were growing up and in school. And when the kids got older and started driving and didn't need us as much, she started taking on residential clients more and more and kept growing and growing and getting people and doing what she did. And it was about 3 years ago, we went to our tax preparer and she let us know that Brandy was making a lot more money than I was at cleaning than I was at building houses. And it was a aha moment, as you like to say, that, you know, maybe I need to trade in the hammer for a broom. And we've never looked back since. And it's been a great fit. We are able to work with each other. And it's been a success for us in the last 2-3 years. We're getting out of the field more and more, delegating, getting systems, all that kind of stuff. Thanks to your amazing free resource that is your podcasts. And yeah, that's kind of how we got involved in this.
Yeah. And the funny thing is he thinks we're going to pay him for all the nice words. That check's going to bounce. We ain't paying.
No. And when you first got a hold of us, you know, I even was in the emails like, this is great. Like you've been, I was the first one to really watch you and look at you. And you've been a passive mentor of mine ever since. And I would listen to, 40 or 30 podcasts in a week, and I'd come back with all these ideas, and my wife would be like, whoa,
one easy, crazy person.
Right. And, you know, slowly but surely we've been using you. So the opportunity came up to have to do this. We're like, heck yeah. You know, a chance to talk to you and steal some of your valuable time. Heck yeah. We want to do that.
Beautiful. And it's so fun, by the way, because just so you guys know, we have clients on here. We have big fans on here. We have people that have no idea who I am on here. So it's always fun to have kind of that, like, just a different experience. Right. So, and then of course we have shills like, you know, these two that we've paid to come on and, you know, say nice things. So far doing great. all right, let's talk about, just cause we have limited time. I want to make sure I give as much value as possible. What's going on in your world? We'll let Brandy go, that I can help you with, young lady.
Oh, what can you help us? Well, you know, well, we have learned a lot from you and we're implementing things. I feel like mostly our biggest thing is employees. Right now.
Well, hold on. Actually, you said something important. I want to give you guys a chance. So for what Tom's saying is, hey, I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of podcasts. So there's people out there going, are you insane? I'm barely going to sit through one podcast, this numbskull. So boil it down. Give us the number one takeaway each of you guys have kind of had. So for those of us that aren't willing to like listen to hundreds of podcasts, kind of boil it down, give the top one or two each of you, and then I'll hit your question. So we'll make you give to the community before the community gives to you. Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, I feel like the biggest thing is like employee attractions, you know, say like already in, so in October we have a team building outing that we're going to go. We're taking everyone axe throwing, you know, and just.
Did you say axe throwing? Because that's awesome.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So 20% of Cleaning Nation just went, where are they at? I want to be on that team. That sounds like a party. I'm in.
Right. And the thing I take away from you is like, have fun. Like, you know, don't like, you know, why be so serious? You know, have fun. Make it a place that people enjoy going to work. And, you know, and that's that. I feel like that was my biggest takeaway from stuff so far, you know.
And what's funny is when you make it a place that's fun for them to show up for work, magically, all of a sudden, you don't look and it's a fun place you like to show up for work, which is a nice little bonus, right? Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I love that. Yeah. And that's really more, it's funny. A lot of the newer people don't get that or don't want to hear about that. And we've kind of got, you know, our entry level, our next level, our millionaire mastermind. And the higher we get, the more they talk about building a culture and leadership and creating that. So I love that's where you're at. That's where your head's at. That's a, there's magic. Anyone that's like, how do I automate and get free from my business? Until you have a culture that's powerful, I have no idea how. I'm sure it's possible. I'm not your dude. All right. Tom, what was your biggest takeaway? Then I promise I'll give you all some value.
Well, takeaway and also fighting on also the idea.
Oh, I like that even better.
As far as ads go, with client and employee attraction systems, like with on Google or Facebook, the ads to attract these people, the idea that great place to work, flexible hours, you know, the thing you say that everyone writes their same ads at, to do that differently, it's hard to believe that that works as well as you say and have proven it works. I get that, but it's the biggest fight with me. But a lot of things I fought in the past that you've said and I've implemented in one way, shape, or form, and they do. You look like, wow, that makes a crazy difference. But that would be my biggest takeaway. Don't be like the other people. Do something different. All you need them to do is look at you and say, wow, that looks awesome. That looks fun. Or I want to be part of that. And that's not what I thought. I thought people wanted money and security and just a job to go to every day. And it's hard to get out of that way of thinking. That's it.
If it makes you feel better, I learned that the hard way too. I don't want you to think like, oh, I went to business school or came out really smart. I did exactly what you said. I was young and dumb, and at least I was good looking. Then now I'm old and dumb, and I lost my, now I'm not even good looking anymore. So, but I got a young, good looking wife. So you deal with what you got. And I thought the exact same thing. If I just pay enough, that's all they want. And how can I compete? But the problem is that I'm like, how can I compete with people that can pay more? And the answer, I couldn't.
Yeah. Yes.
So I literally banged my head against the wall. It took me a decade to figure that out. So just so you know, I don't want you to be like, I was born from the womb and God spoke to me. Like, nope. I banged my head against the wall for a decade and then finally started to figure out once it clicked, I was the same way as you. I'm like, I can't believe the whole time it was never money, which I never had. It was fun, which I tried to bury and act professional. Insane. So I'm going to give the big takeaway from their takeaway. And then I promise we're going to get to their coaching. What I heard from Tom is coachability. Dumb people say things like, sorry, dumb people, but this is where it's at. Say things like, well, I don't think, and that's still going to work. Blah, 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 blah. And we go, okay, great. How's that working for you? And if it's working great, they're a smart person. Keep doing that. If it's working terribly, they're a dumb person. And they're like, I'm going to keep doing that. That's dumb, right? Smart people learn from their mistakes. Really smart people learn from other people's mistakes. I was only smart enough to learn from my mistakes. I love Tom going, I fought it. I'll be honest with you, but I needed results more than I needed to be right. So that's, to me, that's called coachability. We only take a dozen or so clients per month. That is a coachability, commitment, decisiveness, all that. If you're not that, we're out. Not because we're vindictive, because we know you're not gonna have success with us or anybody else. So my big takeaway from what they said is coachability. Just so you guys know, I have a multi-million-dollar coaching business. People pay me for my coaching. I spend $70,000 a year in a coaching program I'm in to continue to get coached. So I don't want anyone to be like, oh, Mike's reached it. He's the pinnacle. Nope. And I, the guy that's running my multi-million-dollar coaching thing, he's in a coaching program. Like, smart people are constantly looking to invest in themselves. Dumb people are like, I got everything. And again, look to results. I'm okay with a guy living his perfect dream going, I got everything. I don't need anyone's feedback. He can go do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't exist. It's all a bunch of people going, people don't want to work. It's impossible. COVID killed it. It's always someone else's fault but their own. And that's why they're failing. And you go, why don't you get some coaching from someone that's, oh, he was born rich, or he's cheating, or he, like, there's always something other than, you know what? I'm just going to empty my cup and maybe learn something for once. So I love that, Tom. I love that you're like, that's not my natural coachable state. I'm not coachable. I want to fight you, but more than wanting to fight you, I want to freaking win. And that's what I'm going to do. So I love that about you, man. Right off the bat, that's, as a coach who's talked to a lot of successful people, a lot of unsuccessful people, you kind of start hearing things. You're like, this guy's got something going on, or this couple's got something going on. All right. We are way into the podcast. I've given you no value. I've tricked you into telling Mike people your value. How on God's green earth can I make your guys' life better in the time we got?
I guess is how,
if you don't ask a good question, I'm just going to make you keep coaching for the rest of the time. So
we started out, like I said, we were both in the field. I've only been out of the field for about maybe 7-8 months. Okay. Randy, once a month, she might have to go back in, but it's a rarity. She's getting out of the field too.
I'll yell at you about that after the podcast. Not now, I'll yell later, but go ahead.
But from when we started, that was huge. We were working all day, both of us. I was working nights, she was working days, you know, and still high-fiving and not making any progress. So getting herself out of the field was huge. And that took a lot of us talking and convincing each other that there are good people that can do these jobs that we think only we can do. It was tough.
And
but I think
really quick, I want... You said something. You said something genius. I'm afraid people missed it. It took a lot. He's like, hold on, Brandy, pay attention. I said something genius. Listen up. It took a lot of us talking to each other and convincing each other. So for those of you, that's really a big part of the role that we play. Obviously, the systems and processes we help you with are fine, but shifting your paradigm and your context and what you believe about business, that's far bigger. So I love that you guys are figuring out, if you have the cure to cancer, but nobody believes it or trusts that it's going to work, you might as well have nothing. So I love that you guys got it started with talking to each other and choosing to believe there are people that want to work. This can happen. Without that step, we can give you every system in the world virtually valueless. So just clean nation, don't miss that. Go ahead.
And Mike, we not fought, but we...
No, I get it. You were passionate people.
it was a lot of her telling me and me telling her, hey, trust me, we can't keep doing it the same way. Or like you said, we're going to get the same results. Nothing's going to change. Let's try this. Let's just give it a whirl. Trust me that I have our best interests at heart, or vice versa. And let's give it a whirl. If it fails, we're no worse off than we started. And we'll find something else. But if you don't try different things, you'll never know really what works and what doesn't. And that came along with keeping records and track of that we're really starting to dive into now, of our expenses, our profits, you know, our margin, all the numbers that are, when you're working, you don't have time to focus on that, and you can't afford to pay somebody to focus on it. So, but it's so important, because you don't know how to adjust your pricing. You don't know which days are more profitable, which weeks are more profitable. You know, we don't do one-time cleanings anymore. That was a big argument with us, of no more
movements. Well, I'm glad whoever was on team no more one time, they had my vote. I'm glad that guy or gal won. We'll leave the names out to protect the guilty, but that guy or gal was correct in that instance. Go ahead.
And we're still having the same argument now with commercial and residential, you know, and we're crunching the numbers right now to see what the numbers tell us, how profitable, which is more profitable, which is a better use of our time and energy to go, if we're going to continue to do both. And I know you're on the fence about it. I know you don't really like people doing both.
Oh, yeah, I'm not on the fence. I'm clearly on one side.
Oh, okay.
pick one and be amazing at it. God forbid you're trying to do residential or commercial, and myself or someone's been through our program comes into your area and tries to compete with you. You might as well just shut down wherever we're competing, because how do you win? That would be like...
Especially commercial, because it is... very, very tight.
They're not interested in, you know, mom's, you know, mopping a hope thing. They're past.
They don't have the same pain. They don't care as much.
Completely different animal. All right. So what's going on in your world that I can help you with, other than marriage counseling, which I'm not qualified for?
the numbers of it. You know, we're trying to figure out the 50, 30, 20. Mm-hmm. We're getting our numbers together. We've hired on an accountant, but is there ways to, if you find yourself at 60, 40, 10, or is there easy ways to adjust things to make that more of that ratio that we're looking for?
Such a great question. The short answer is yes. Yeah. And I'm guessing the next question, okay, then what is it?
Yeah, right.
How terrible that be? Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Okay, well, we're out of time. Best, good to talk to you guys. Moving on. Okay, so the short answer is yes. First and foremost, let's back up because you guys are on step two and I want people that are not there to see the step one that you've already done. The step one is to have correct data. So many people, you said one thing that I wanted to strangle you. I was going to let it go, but we've closed the loop. So I'm going to come back and yell at you just for a second. And I'm doing it because I like you guys and you seem like you're tolerant of my nonsense. So we, 3 years ago, we talked to our accountant and he told us I could blah, 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 blah. That is such a common mistake of people though. I've talked to my accountant. I've had many accountants, no offense, accountants or specifically United States, I think it's CAs in Canada, CPAs in the United States. All that means is they are legally prepare your taxes. That's it. Most of them don't know the first thing about business and they're idiots. And they certainly don't know about the cleaning business. They've got a bunch of different things. So I'm like, your margins are high. Your margins are like, based on how many cleaning companies have you worked with? I'm like, well, you're it. Okay. So you're comparing me to your car dealership client, your coaching client, your hardware store client. What the frick do you know? So, and I'm fine with them going, I don't know. I'm very good at taxes, but so most of them don't. And this guy made up. So all of you guys, you decide when you're making profit, you decide all that. So we've got to elevate ourselves. A lot of times owners are like, oh, my accountant. I got to ask my accountant if I can spend this money. No, your accountant works for you. You're the smart one. He's a dumb one. His only job is to make sure that you pay the least legal amount of taxes that you can pay. That's his job. Other than that, shut up. I'm not interested. Now, there's CFOs, chief financial officers, people with a different skill set. We might have a different conversation with. Most CPAs are not CFOs. Don't be fooled.
Right. Yeah.
So first and foremost, we tell, and they'll say stuff like, well, I want to, you know, we coach accrual accounting and there's a bunch of reasons why I'm not going to get into it here, but a lot of frustrating accounts are like, oh no, you need cash. What they really mean is I only am comfortable doing cash and that's how all of my other clients are. And I don't really know the difference. So, and I just want to pull my friggin' hair out. It's like, it's fine to be dumb, but don't act like you don't start coaching people that you know what you're talking about. If you don't know what you're talking about. So again, same, I talk about niches, right? Now, if you had an accountant that's like, that's all I do is owners of cleaning companies. And I've had 100 of them over the last 10 years. And I know what's okay. I'll listen to that guy. But the guy that's like, I just don't know. I just prepare taxes and I know tax law better than you. Guess what? They know tax law better than me. But if you ask me for coaching on taxes, I go, consult an attorney, be you're an accountant because I'm not qualified. But they don't do the same. So all that to say, step one, have good numbers. You tell your accountant, he or she does not tell, well, I'm trying, it's work, you're the blah, blah. I don't want any of that crap. This is how I want it. This is when I want it. Can you do it? If not, I'm going to hire somebody else. Moving on. So really important that we are in charge of our accountant. They're not our brain surgeons, right? When I go to a brain surgeon, he's like, I'm going to cut your head open, take these pills, exercise. I will listen to him. When he starts telling me about how to save money on my taxes, I'm not interested. But guess what? Good brain surgeons don't do that because they know what they know and they know what they don't know. So step one, have good books. Don't let an accountant bully you or because he sucks at his job, tell you or try and talk. A lot of times they'll use big words to try and confuse you so they sound smart and you feel stupid, but they don't know what they're talking about. So my standard for an accountant would be I do my best to explain stuff to you guys, to everybody in a way they're like, that makes sense. And maybe I don't sound as smart, but you guys freaking get it. And that's all I care about. I could use big words and try and sound really smart. And everyone would go, well, Mike's really smart. And they don't understand. I'm like, who cares? Like, what? So what? So beware of accountants that don't listen to you, that coach you when they don't know what they're talking about. And they talk to a way that makes their point sound good. And their point being, I can't have your books done in a timely manner or a correct manner. And they try and talk themselves around of it because they suck at a job. Fire them, hire somebody else and tell them, if you want me to pay you, you talk in a way I understand. If you're not willing and able to do that, get out. And I would say that as a coach, right? If I start using a bunch of words that you guys didn't use, I'd be like, I'm going to pay someone else. Maybe even someone not as smart as you. Who cares? I don't care how smart you are. I just want results. Okay. So step one, have good books. If you don't have that, all is lost. Mm-hmm. Step two, that 50, 30, 20, there's only two ways to fix it. If you're wonky, I've got too high cost of goods in the 50, 30, 20 is 50% cost of goods sold, 30% overhead, 20% profit. And this is with you guys not in the field. So this is if a lot of us start cleaning, we're like, I have a 90% profit. No, you have a job with a 90% profit, right? Cause hey, if I come, you know, move your house and you give me $500 and it's just me, that's not a business. That's a job. I'm like, I kept $450 after gas. Like, Yeah, but that's not a job. That's a job, not a business. So if you have a real business where I have movers do it and every, you know, I can be doing whatever I want and I get paid, we only get 20%. That said, there's only two ways to fix it. If the cost of goods sold is high, the overhead high, and that makes the profit low. You can either raise prices or cut expenses. That's it.
That's it.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. I coach you to, so many people think they're about 50-50. Well, I'll work a little here. Nope. It's 98-10. Yeah. Raise prices. Raise freaking prices. You could shop your workers' compensation 17 times to save a nickel. You still need workers' comp. You can say, oh, we'll buy a cheaper t-shirt for our uniform, or we'll make them wear their uniforms 20% long. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can like be digging in the dirt for nickels and save a nickel. Or they're there 37 minutes and we think it could be done in 30 minutes. And if we watch them and just stay on top of them every second of every day, you can get it down to 30 minutes as long as you're spending all that time. Just assume it takes 37 minutes, freaking raise prices. So raising prices is the right answer. And again, if you're wildly a mess, like if it's taking you 6 hours and it should take an hour, you got to fix it. If you're paying, if your workers comp should cost $1,000 a month and it costs $7,000, you got to fix that. But that's, unless you're just completely out of your mind, that's almost never the case, right? So raise prices, raise prices, raise prices. And again, just like you guys were talking about, it's not about the raising prices. It's about you knowing who you are and the value that you bring and having that confidence. Our coaching ain't cheap. And when people, holy crap, that sounds expensive. Yeah, well, if you really want someone that's bought and sold several multimillion dollar businesses to help you do that, it ain't cheap. You should be nervous if it was a nickel, right? So the right clients, when you come into a we'll say commercial, to a job that should be $1,500 a month, and they know it, you know it, because if they've done this more than once, they know what it should cost, and you charge $700, they know you're a knucklehead. They know they're not going to get, because it's the wrong client taking the wrong deal. And it's not like they win and you lose. Everyone loses, because who's going to pay for insurance? How motivated are you to do the job? You're not making any money when you're trying to get a 6 hour job done in 4 hours of labor. Don't pencil. So you can yell, you can scream, you can beg, you can pinch pennies, you can do all you want to do. That $1,500 job that you're charging $700 for ain't ever going to be profitable. Ever, 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 not ever. No matter how many pennies you pinch. The only way is you go and you're like, hey guys, it's $1,500. Well, you're fired. Okie dokie. I'll go get another profitable account, or okay, I'll pay that. Either way, don't be fooled into pitching, I'm going to save myself into wealth. You never will. You got to... if your price structure is broken, your price structure is broken. So maybe not the answer you want to hear, but it's the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one, if I got time to squeeze one into.
We don't. We are right at the end. I'm so sorry. If I had more time, I did. All right. So if you guys love Tom and Brandy, I want to say Brady. Tom and Brandy, not Brady. Email in and say, we want more Tom and Brandy, and we'll get them back on for part two. That said, for all of you guys, like, holy heck, I need this. I want this. I love it. Give me more free crap, Mike. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. There's all the resources that we have. There's, I think, we're coming up on 700 episodes, 15,000 member Facebook group. The best thing to start with is the on-demand masterclass. It's like the five shifts you need to make. It's the best 40 minutes we've got. Start there, totally free, growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.